Good morning. You are listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network, your main source of accessible community news and information. We're located in Lowell, Massachusetts. We read local news, editorial, feature stories, and more. Lab Radio is brought to you by the volunteers and the staff of the Lowell Association for the Blind. Lab would like to thank Nancy L. and Richard K. Donahue Charitable Foundation for their support. My name is Rosemary, and this morning I'm going to read to you from the Andover Townsman. This is from the week of April 2nd to April 8th. Front page news. Protesters gather for the No King rally in Andover. Picket signs and megaphones returned to the street for round three of No King's Day last Saturday. Demonstrations in Andover and North Andover drew sizable crowds as local rallies coincided with thousands of rallies across America. Organizer Don Abbott said Andover had just under 1,000 people turn out at Shawshing Square, while about 300 attended the protests earlier in the day outside of North Parish Union Church in North Andover. Abbott said the force behind the gatherings is a loose coalition of local residents rather than a centralized group formed in response to early worries about Trump's second term. We're just individuals who in the first 2 months of Trump's presidency were really concerned and wondered what we could do as individuals, he said. He said both events saw strong encouragement from passing drivers, with many in support outweighing the once-in-a-while jeer. Abbott said Trump is threatening to the constitutional basis of the U.S., which has prompted more folks to turn out for No Kings this time around. But he characterized the effort as taking on long-haul work in which protesters cannot expect immediate policy changes, but must continue working for a gradual impact over time. In cities and towns across the Merrimack Valley and southern New Hampshire, louder and larger crowds showed up as part of the nationwide mobilization, including roughly 3,000 planned demonstrations. Protesters took to high-visibility intersections in Haverhill, Methuen, Andover, and North Andover, as well as New Hampshire communities such as Derry, Pelham, and Salem. Saturday marked the third wave of this movement that began in June and continued in October. The protests carried out the message that no political leader should act as a king or be above the law. Many participants tied to the message directly to President Trump's administration, expressing concerns about the president's policies on immigration, health, women's rights, education, foreign affairs, and his dismantling of the American institutions and norm. Demonstrations served as an effort to save democracy, as many protesters signed proclaimed, with people dotting walkways of downtown areas. The closure and replacement of the Bridge Street Bridge in Salem was no deterrent for the folks who still converge at the Commons. Hundreds gathered at the intersection of Bridge and Main Streets, a scene of signs lifted overhead, chants called out in unison, and passing cars honking in support. Many of the protesters blamed Trump and shared their concerns about the future of the nation. Protester Dick Barnaby was among the outspoken. "He's the worst thing that ever happened to the world, much less the country. He's gone to war now," Barnaby said. He has been a participant in all three No King rallies, visiting at protests around the region such as Haverhill and Plastow. This gives people who are on the fence the opportunities to go the right way, he said. It's only a small percentage of people who actually believe in something and will go out and protest it. There was no visible counter-protest in Salem, but some did note an occasional middle finger or insult passed from a passing vehicle. Joanne Daigle, another protester, said the movement must continue to grow, and with each demonstration, their shared message is more visible. He's just doing such an injustice, Daigle said. He's such an embarrassment to the whole country, and while we still have a voice, we need to express it. She walked into the Salem Commons on Saturday with a sign that depicted the president with a red clown nose and the text reading, "No crown for the clown." Daigle said the political climate has fueled anger on both sides of the political spectrum. As she described a moment during the protest, when a driver sped through the intersection in what she said was an attempt to intimidate the protesters. If he lost control, he could have wiped out a whole side of that protest, she said. Nearby in Methuen, the demonstration kicked off at noon with folks lined Havel Street near Merrimack Plaza. No King signs faced a steady stream of traffic, and within minutes, about 100 people had already joined. The protest was organized by Greater Methuen Indivisible, whose members wore luminescent vests as they set up tables and shared handshakes and handmade signs with protesters. One of the organizers said the group formed in November following a strong turnout at October's rally. People are waking up. There's the stuff that's happening that's impossible to ignore. She credited co-organizer Claire Podagauskas as driving force for the weekend protests and said she was grateful for the protests' positive results. I'm filled with gratitude. We're here because we care, and we care about what's happening in our local areas as well as state and national. Citing the many reasons demonstrators showed up, she pointed to the concerns about funding, health care, and what she said of valuable populations like elderly or students who are at risk under this administration. We're encouraged about what is going on, and America can do better. From the front page of the Andover Townsman, longtime dispatcher, supervisor, honored. From Andover. Andover Public Safety Officer and firefighters unveiled a memorial plaque in the memory of a longtime employee and named the communications center after him on Friday. The dedication of the Charles DeSecco Memorial Communications Center took place nearly 1 year after the death of Charles Chuck DeSecco, who was a dispatcher and communications supervisor for the town police and fire department for 25 years. He died unexpectedly on March 28, 2025. He was 52 years old. The memorial plaque hangs next to the dispatcher's window in the center's lobby. The Andover Public Safety Center at 32 North Main Street houses both the town's police and fire departments. Jessica worked closely with both departments. Members of the police department and Andover Fire Rescue, former staff, and Jessica's family and friends filled the lobby of the Public Safety Center for the dedication. Lori Jessico spoke about how her husband had two families, his own and his work. She spoke of her late husband as a dedicated public servant who supported the best of the best. Her husband spent half his life working in Andover Public Safety. He began his career as a town dispatcher in 2000 when the police department was still operating out of its old station. He was promoted to supervisor in 2013. 13. "You are his second family, and he loved you all," she said. Police Chief Patrick Keefe reached over and touched the memorial plaque as he spoke about how dedicated the Communications Center is and preserved the long-time public service legacy. "It was the perfect way to recognize someone who meant so much to this department. Chuck was a friend to everyone in this building. He made me laugh in every conversation we had, and that was daily." Keith spoke about Jessica's calm and easygoing presence that put people at ease, whether they were standing in front of him or calling in during the worst moments of their lives. As a supervisor, he described Jessica as the embodiment of a leader and someone who was supportive of his team. Andover Fire Chief Kyle Murphy echoed the sentiments about Jessica, describing him as someone who could always be counted on. And there's a picture of Police Chief Patrick Key as he touches a memorial plaque during a dedication ceremony for Charles Jessica at the Andover Public Safety Center in Andover. Also from the front page from the Andover Townsman, "Rail trail to open soon." From Andover, "The Haggis Pond Trail Rail is expected to open next month after nearly a year closed to the public as the town worked to complete an accessibility improvement project. The trail is slated to open in April as the first town-sponsored Accessible and Americans with Disability Act compliant trail. The installation of the final pieces are expected in the coming days. Deputy Town Manager Mike Lindstrom provided the Select Board with an update on the project status at the Board's March 16th meeting. He described it as a long-awaited project and one widely talked about in the community. "We are super excited that we are about to open and let this town treasure be enjoyed by all members of our community," he said. The Haggis Pond Trail Rail project sought to develop a former trail rail bed that encircled the pond with asphalt instead of dirt to make it more accessible for all visitors. This 8 feet wide paved trail will be handicapped accessible, along with a new boardwalk and accessible parking lots. The project was funded with a $500,000 grant through the Mass Trails Grant Program and other allocated funds through the American Rescue Plan Act. The Conservation Committee approved the permitting for the project in October of 2024. The rail trail was temporarily closed in May 2025 when the town began preparations for the improvement. Paving was completed last fall. The last steps are the installation of the ADA compliant railings and mesh along the boardwalk and an additional staircase to be added. Lindstrom said the project was delayed in the winter before the materials for those components were available and due to weather. Most of the project's construction and paving took place in 2025, but the trail has remained closed, waiting for the final elements to be added. The town has a commitment from its construction contractors, Bates & Son, to be back on site on May 23rd. With the remaining work projected to take about 2 weeks. The contractor will also put in some new benches and install a kiosk on the site. The trail is expected to open once the work is completed. From Andover, committee disapproves of articles to revise rules. A private warrant article asked voters to revise a home rule petition to loosen special town meetings requirements when the annual town meeting takes place in April. The Finance Committee unanimously disapproved 9-0, recommending a private petition for town meetings that seek to revise the special town meeting petition requirements by increasing the threshold of the number of signatures required to call one at its Wednesday meeting. The petition was requested by resident Steve Walters. It wants the requirement to be 200 registered voters, or 20% of the total number of registered voters, whichever it is. If passed, the warrant article would reverse a home rule petition that was approved by the town meeting in 2025. Funding for the $79.8 million Kittredge School project heads to town meeting. This is from North Andover. Voters will have their say on the Kittredge Elementary School project at town meeting in May. The proposed school project is estimated to cost $79.8 million. The Massachusetts School Building Authority would reimburse $29.2 million of the 36.6% of the project's cost. The town would be on the hook for $50-plus million. The project was presented at a quad meeting of the Select Board, School Committee, Finance Committee, and Kittredge School Building Committee on Monday. The school project would be funded with a 30-year bond and an annual payment of $3 million. It's part of the town's Facilities Master Plan, too. The old Kittredge School is more than 70 years old and has surpassed its usefulness. The building has presented challenges to modern learning as there is not enough space for the cafeteria, special ed, and needs, and student support services, says Superintendent Paula Lathrop. It also lacks a dedicated area for library and music education. The building is not university accessible or energy efficient. The school's parking and traffic pattern is inadequate, and the outdoor area is not compliant with accessibility standards. A planning session during the feasibility study established educational priorities for a new school. A new Kittredge Elementary School would have spaces that support the school district's current programming, differentiated and inclusive instructions for special education students, flexible spaces for collaboration and cross-grade connections. It would also have outdoor classrooms. The goal is to create a school that is sustainable and able to use for many generations. The planned lifespan of the new building is at least 50 years. The project costs include outfitting the school with furniture and technologies. The new school will be able to accommodate 335 students and feature a blended cafeteria and auditorium. The current Kittredge building can hold 240 students. Lathrop said the new building will give the school district some opportunity to breathe to provide appropriate spaces at our schools. Andover and North Andover officers, firefighters, and EMTs honored. The Exchange Club of Lawrence and Andover held their 63rd annual Public Safety Awards ceremony on February 25th. The ceremony honored members of the Lawrence Andover, North Andover Police and Fire, and Lawrence General's Pre-Hospital EMS. Dozens of family members, friends, and colleagues of the recipients attended the event, which was held at the Lawrence Elks Lodge, 65, number 65, and catered by Simply Elegant Catering. And there's several pictures accompanying this article. One of the Andover Fire Department, the North Andover, and also the Andover Detective, a picture of Andover Detective Robin Cataldo and his officers. From the town meeting, petitioners plan to change articles on rodent poisons. From Andover, a warrant seeking a home rule petition to prohibit rat poisoning in town may be changed on a town meeting in April. The amendment was discussed at the Finance Committee's Wednesday meeting with the residents who proposed the home rule petition and bylaw amending it on the floor of the town meeting. The Select Board and Conservation Commission previously approved recommending the warrant article. The Board of Health disapproved of it as written in two parts. The Board of Health decision was made not because of the article's spirit, but unknowns associated with the allocation of resources. The warrant article reads, "An act authorizing the town to prohibit the use of anticoagulant rodenticides by commercial pesticide applications." The private warrant article has two parts. The first seeks to acquire the state's permission to tighten the town's regulation of the rodenticides and go into effect once the state approves. The second part would amend the town's bylaws, defining the rules Andover wants to implement on the issues, create a new section to prohibit the use of rodent poisons, and implement an integrated management plan to best protect the safety of residents, pets, and wildlife. Town Manager Andrew Flanagan said town officials worked with the petitioners, and it was his understanding the article will only be presented as the home rule petition, not the second part originally proposed to enact the bylaws. Town Clerk Austin Sinfield said the Board of Health has had a few meetings on the topic because the bylaws would make the board the ban's enforcing body. The board found it would need to develop a permanent system of regulations because the bylaws would contemplate a ban, but a waiver could be sought if warranted. Right now, anticoagulants are used by pest companies who are licensed by the state. There is also the need for public education for residents and the pest companies on the poisons. The Board of Health would also need to figure out how to handle enforcement. Simcoe, speaking on behalf of the Board of Health, said the board was sympathetic to the petition's concerns, but the ban would raise the issues of local regulation of the rat poisons while the state regulates them now. The resident petitioner, Donna Cooper, and Prudence Barker presented the article to the Finance Committee during the meeting. "What I can act on immediately is local and town work," said Cooper. She said the amendment was determined by the Protection Andover Wildlife Team to try to get the home rule petition passed and then be ready to pass a bylaw by what happened. Cooper said there are more than 30 bylaws in front of the state and municipal towns, including North Andover, are putting home rule petitions before town meeting voters to get more pressure on the state to just go and pass this. If the home rule petition is passed at a town meeting, the state legislature would still need to pass it, which could take a long time. In the meantime, we are, as a town, can start educating our citizens about these poisons. The town can use integrated pest management on municipal properties, but can't enforce it on private properties. Finance Committee Chair Paula Colby Coleman said the finance implications are something the committee would have to be more robust on when the bylaw and its enforcement would come into play. The committee won't take a position on the articles during a town meeting if it's amended to just the home rule petition, as there won't be a financial impact. "We need more commitment and information to understand the financial impact, and we will have that discussion when it comes." You are listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Lab would like to thank UMass Lowell's WUML-FM for providing the radio signal that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. More news from the Andover Townsman. From Ask Joan, caring for grandchildren keeps seniors healthier. Question. A friend was telling me recently that grandparents who take care of their grandchildren are healthier. My daughter and her family live about 45 minutes away, so we don't care for our two grandchildren on a regular basis. But we do have them overnight and on weekends here and there. We get lots of joy out of spending time with them. Is it true that these visits also keep us healthier? Answer, how lucky you are that you get to enjoy quality time with your grandkids. It's true that caring for grandchildren can be its own reward. I'm looking forward to experience this myself because I'm expecting my first grandchild this August. Your friend is correct. Studies show that grandparents who help care for their grandchildren experience health benefits, even those like you who do it only occasionally. A recent study published by the American Psychological Association found that caring for grandchildren can be good for the brain. The study showed and looked at data from 3,000 grandparents in the UK who were age 50 or older. Researchers found that older adults who cared for their grandchildren scored higher on tests involving memory and language than those who were not caregivers. In the study, caregiving including watching grandkids overnight, taking care of them when they were sick, playing with them, helping with their homework, preparing meals, and driving them to school and other activities. Researchers pointed out that older adults saw benefits regardless of how often they took care of their grandchildren or the type of care. Over the course of the study, grandmothers who cared for their grandchildren also saw less decline on the cognitive tests than those who didn't. Of course, the benefits of caring for grandchildren may vary depending on how supported a grandparent feels. More work needs to be done to study grandparent caregivers in a more stressful situation, or those who feel that their choices are limited. The Age Span Family Caregiving Support Program works with many grandparents who are caring for their grandchildren out of necessity. Age Span offers support groups and other programs to help these grandparents navigate caregiving under more difficult circumstances. Future studies may also tell us why caregiving grandparents see these benefits, whether it's thanks to the social engagement, the flexibility and creativity that comes with caring for a child, or something else. In the meantime, continue to enjoy your time with your grandchildren. It just might make your health and your brain happier. Are you caring for an older adult or need help finding healthy aging resources? Our experienced staff is available. You can visit AgeSpan or call them at 800-892-0890. Again, that number at AgeSpan is 800-892-0890. Youth Empowerment. Local news from the Andover Townsman. Annual Andover event raises $200,000 for Crisis Center. From Andover, the Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center officials recently announced raising $200,000 during the 14th annual White Ribbon event, March 19th, at the Andover Country Club. The amount slightly exceeded its goal by $1,843. The event featured a live auction, raffle, and opportunity for attendees to fund a dream by raising their paddle to support Jeannie Geiger Crisis Center programs with a focus on youth empowerment services. Students from Esperance Academy in Lawrence and Haverhill High School spoke about their experiences in youth empowerment services and received a standing ovation. Institutions for Savings Executive Vice President Kim Rock spoke about commitment to ending domestic violence in our communities and the importance of empowering youth. Rock also presented a Founders Award to Dick Barzagran, chair of the center's White Ribbon Committee and one of the creators of the event 14 years ago. Julie Daigle, executive manager from the Office of State Auditors Diana DeZolio, presented Barzagran with an official citation. Andy Polanco, director of community engagement at the Crisis Center, said his welcoming remarks, "When men choose to speak up against violence, when we challenge harmful behavior, when we model respect and accountability, we will help change the culture around us." Jean Martinez, a sixth grader at Esperanza Academy in Lawrence and a participant in Girls Inc. of the Seacoast area, said, "In Girls Inc. in Esperanza, I am learning that I am allowed to grow, expand, make mistakes, and get back up and try again, all while still having worth and value. That makes me stronger, smarter, and bolder." Located in Amesbury, Lawrence, and Newburyport, the Jean Geiger Crisis Center is a nonprofit that helps about 1,200 to 1,400 adults and children each year move from crisis to safety and long-term independence since opening in 1982. From the Andover Townsman, Birds of Prey visit North Andover in April. Learn about a trio of birds at the Tailwinds Birds of Prey Lecture, 2 p.m. April 24th at the North Andover Police Department, 481 Sutton Street. Tailwinds will introduce folks to three live raptors ambassadors, including George the Barred Owl. Residents can learn how to be respectful neighbors to the birds of prey of North Andover, learn about their adoptions, ecology, biology, and how the community can help. Attendees will have the opportunity to take a photo with George. This is a family-friendly event, but no pets are allowed, and registration is required by calling 978-242-1511. Again, that number is 978-242-1511. And there's a picture of animal educator Anna Gagnon as she walks with Greta, a turkey vulture, during an earlier presentation by Tailwinds. Raptor Education and Conservation of Kingston, North New Hampshire, Tailwinds educators and a trio of birds will be at the Birds of Prey presentation. Again, that date is 2 p.m. April 24th at the North Andover Police Department, 481 Sutton Street in North Andover. Step Up for Colleen, set for May 3rd. The 13th annual Step Up for Colleen 5K in memory of beloved teacher Colleen Ritzer will be held May 3rd in Andover's Central Park. Todd Angley, who sings at each Boston Bruins home game, will sing the national anthem from the park's gazebo during the 8:45 a.m. opening ceremony. The 5K walk-run begins at 9 a.m. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Colleen E. Risker Memorial Fund, which fosters a society of compassion with kindness as motivating influence in all its endeavors. Renowned for her kindness and zeal for life, teaching, and love of family, the organization emulates Colleen's compassion through scholarship grants and other programs with kindness and education at their core. Each year, the Step Up for Colleen draws walkers and runners all ages to the USA Track and Field certified field. Most wear pink, which was Colleen's favorite color. This year's event will be Magic 106 radio personalities. The post-race festivities will include music, refreshments, a beer garden, Boston sports mascot, a balloon artist, face painting, a magician's friendship bracelet making, and much more. Awards ceremony will be at 10:30. Since its inception in 2014, $677,000 in scholarships has been awarded to 128 future teachers and leaders, some of whom have already begun their teaching careers and are pursuing master's degrees. Evening of Possibilities. The Boys and Girls Club will host an annual auction, an Evening of Possibilities from 5:30 to 8:30, April 11th at the Andover Country Club, 60 Canterbury Street. The night is a celebration of the club's impact on Lawrence youth, with the event including a cocktail hour and silent and live auctions. For more information about this event, call 978-683-2747, extension 128. Again, that number for the Boys and Girls Club of Lawrence auction, call 978-683-2747, extension 128. April Vacation Art Camp in North Andover. The North Andover Historical Society is hosting an April Vacation Kids Camp, Developing Identity Through Art, from 9:30 to 2:30 p.m., Monday to Fridays, April 20th to the 24th, at 800 Massachusetts Avenue. The week-long day camp program is for children grades 3 and older. The campers will take part in paper making and collage, poetry and cursive writing, reviewing public murals, music, discovery, and theater. Elevated Thought, North Andover Music Academy, Acting Out Theater Company, and the North Andover Poets Corner are partners with the North Andover Historical Society for this programming. The full cost for the week is $250, and each day is $55. For more information, contact the North Andover Historical Association. Bank names, new executive. Reading Cooperative Bank, with branches in Andover and Lawrence, has announced the hiring of Jesus Surreal as Vice President of Community Banking and Development. Surreal has more than 19 years of experience in banking and financial services. He comes to RCB from Enterprise Bank, where he served 12 years as a bank service manager and is Vice President, Senior Business Advisor. Reading Cooperative Bank dedication to its core values and community truly resonates with me, he said. I wanted to be part of an organization that not only talks about community impact, but lives it every day. I look forward to contributing to that mission and supporting the people of the Merrimack Valley. Surreal holds bachelor's degrees in business administration from UMass Law. He is also a proud graduate of Northern Essex Community College, where he earned an associate's degree in business management with a concentration in computer applications. We've known Jesus for many years and have always admired the way he builds lasting relationships with customers and community partners, said Shannon Calatin, Senior Vice President, Chief Economic Communications Officer. Originally from the Dominican Republic and raised in Lawrence, Surreal lives in Lawrence with his family and their dogs and two cats. All those years ago, 100 years ago, April 2nd, 1926, William Reynolds has moved his shoe repair shop from Post Office Avenue to the store on Barnard Street, recently occupied by the Art Needlework Shop. James Craik of 17 Essex Street and Walter Buxton of 19 Summer Street have gone into business as painters and paper hangers and may be reached by telephone by those who are planning spring renovations. Helen Delaney, 2-year-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Delaney of Pearson Street, and Claire Campbell, 16-month daughter of Mr. and Mrs. John Campbell of Service of Stephen Street, are ill with scarlet fever. A most unusual and interesting entertainment was given by Princess Watan Waso, a full-blooded Indian of the Penobscot tribe, at the regular meeting of the November Club held on Monday afternoon. And 75 years ago, on April 5th, 1951, a diminutive Andover girl who looks more as if she could still be a Jackson College undergraduate, Catherine J. McCarthy of 26 High Street, Andover, holds the distinction of being the only woman member of the Tufts Engineering School faculty. And police are investigating a break in a camp on the Shawshing River in Lowell Junction, owned by Ray Pearsons of Lexington, in which tools of cutlery were stolen. Investigators believe two breaks were made in the place that took place last week. And traffic blinker in Shawshing Square was knocked from its foundation when struck by an auto on Sunday. The operator of the car dozed off at the wheel when the accident happened. He was unhurt. And 50 years ago, on April 1st, 1976, Andover's once-a-day train service to Boston will cease as of the last train out Friday night. Mass Bay Transportation authorities posted this notice Wednesday following a decision of the selectmen Monday not to request additional funds for the commuter line kept alive a year ago at town meetings by the Andover Rail Committee. April 5th, 2001, Andover sewer customers will find one of the highest relief rate credits the state has given in years on their next bill. But they can't get too excited. The credit is only $6.80. The Andover calendar. Revolutionary Designs with North Andover Historical Society. These were held last week, and there were many activities, including the North Andover Bridge, which meets on Mondays and Fridays, looking for experienced players to meet and enjoy a friendly afternoon game of bridge. All are welcome to drop in, and partners are not needed. This is held from 12:45 to 3:45 at North Andover Senior Center, 481 Sutton Street. And you have to register to play bridge at 978-688-9460. Again, that number, 978-688-9560. And Canasta, if you want to play Canasta, they meet on Mondays and Thursdays from 1 to 3 at the North Andover Senior Center. Again, that number to register, 978-688-9560, and that's for Canasta. Popular meteorologists present at Garden Club meeting. At the Andover Garden Club's April 7th meeting, in conjunction, it was held with the Memorial Hall Library. Meteorologist, horticulturist, and educator David Epstein presented Beyond the Frost Line. What happens when the zone moves north? Strategies for a warming landscape at the Andover Gardens Club next meeting. The event was in conjunction with the Memorial Hall Library at 10 a.m. on April 7th. Epstein has been a meteorologist with horticulturist for more than 35 years. He is a meteorologist for the local NPR station and has served as on-air meteorologist for various television stations throughout New England. In 2006, Epstein founded Growing Wisdom, a business that produces educational and marketing videos available via a variety of social media sites. He owns the landscape design business Bloomscapes Incorporated. North Andover Garden Club scholarship deadline is April 15. Applications for two 2,500 scholarships will be accepted by the North Andover Garden Club until April 15. North Andover High seniors pursuing any type of post-secondary education in natural and environmental topics, including marine, plant, and wildlife, climate sciences, agriculture, agribusiness, botany, green energy, landscape design, forestry, fire sciences, horticulture, conservation, or any related field are encouraged to apply. The application and details are available at the North Andover Garden Club. A few articles from North of Boston, Spring, Home and Garden. Unique features for outdoor living spaces. Outdoor living spaces are wildly popular. A 2023 study conducted by Brown Jordan Outdoor Kitchens found that 63% of home owners indicated they would prioritize an outdoor living space if they were to remodel their homes. Homeowners cite a multitude of motivations regarding their interest in upgrading their outdoor living space. A 2024 U.S. Outdoor Trend study from HUS Research found that more than half of homeowners who participated in the study want to renovate to improve aesthetics, while 37% hope to enhance entertaining spaces. One-third viewed renovating outdoor spaces as a great way to extend the living space of their homes. Homeowners who share these motivations and are committed to renovating the outdoor living areas can look to these unique features to fulfill their three goals. A water fountain. Water fountains can serve as a stunning focal point in outdoor living spaces. Outdoor fountains are ideal for anyone hoping to create an outdoor oasis, as few sights and sounds promote a calming atmosphere as effectively softly flowing water in a cast stone foundation. Fountains also attract birds, which can add to the soothing sound of a backyard escape. Shade structures. Gone are the days when homeowners' most accessible option to create shade on patios and decks were umbrellas extending out from the center of an outdoor dining table. Pergolas and gazebos are now available in wide range of shapes and sizes, making these a must for homeowners who want to entertain while ensuring guests remain comfortable on hot days. A hardtop gazebo with roof hooks to accommodate fans, lights, and even plants can serve as an aesthetically appealing safe haven from summer sun. A hammock. A hammock is a simple yet unique function and affordable feature to consider for an outdoor living space. If the existing landscape allows to situate a hammock between two sturdy trees, such a site can contribute to a welcoming and calming ambiance in an outdoor living space and provide extra room to lounge and relax beneath the shade of trees. A game zone. If entertaining is the primary motivation behind an outdoor living space renovation, then designate a part of the space for games and activities. A designated bocce court will draw visitors who want to relax and enjoy a little friendly competition away from the dining area and other spaces. A small putting green can allow golfers to work on their short games, and such spaces can offer opportunities for fun if homeowners are inclined to host putting contests during backyard barbecues. Whatever game tickles homeowners' fancy, designating a space exclusively for games can up the entertainment value of an outdoor living space. The popularity of outdoor living space remains high. Homeowners hoping to enhance their existing space can consider a number of unique features to meet their goals. Thank you for listening to the Lola Association of the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. There are many ways to listen to Lab Radio. You can request a free specialized audio receiver, or for more information about our radio reading service, call us at 978-454-5704. That number at Lab is 978-454-5704. And you can listen to Lab Radio anytime by dialing 1-631-359-9069. That number here for Lab Radio anytime, 1-631-359-9069. And you can visit us on our website and listen to the radio broadcast. And you can find us at LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. That's all one word. And it's LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. Thanks for listening.